tape all around the world. Take your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd? Nerd up! Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up! It's the way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast, and you know what? It's just been so long, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, but this time around, we got someone familiar to the podcast, going to be a regular with the podcast from here on out, Tony Collins. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I wish you would quit doing things with yourself.
Well... no one else is going to do it.
At least while I'm sitting here.
So it's been a while since we've done this. You've gotten on quite a few of the podcasts within the last year or two. And we just decided, basically, and I'm sure you'll agree, that we need to talk nerdy.
Yeah, well, you know, I figure that we do it enough not recording, not right. On a podcast purpose. And then it just seems like we're wasting a lot of golden material. And we figure we may as well do it for the... world at large to hear our genius insights.
Exactly. Is that kind of egotistical of us to, you know, think that people want to hear this?
Assume that people want to hear the crap that is coming out of our mouths? Absolutely, it is egotistical.
I think that's every podcaster in the world.
I'm a radio DJ, so it comes with the territory.
True. I think that's what we have to do. Every time we flip open a microphone, we have to let the world know how much of a genius we are.
That's right. So. And again, I'm happily married now for 25 years, so... nobody else is going to tell me how smart I am.
At least not for the past 25 years, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and you know what? That's the thing. It's like, again, we're both DJs. We work for a classic hit station, and we get to play some great music and talk about the music, but there's other things we're interested in.
Right.
And that's what the focus of this. Now, again, don't rule out Tim Matson, Tim Coker, Eric Billingsley, or Isaac. We'll probably get Isaac in here. In fact, I want him to do like a video game review every week. We're going to try to get back on the track here with every week doing one of these.
Right.
And so those guys will make appearances, I'm sure, and they're not ruled out. It's just we can do this. We do it anyway.
Right, yeah. I mean, basically, we do it every day when you come in, and I'm like, hey, did you see the latest episode of whatever? And we spend quite a bit of time talking about it.
And you know what? Why not continue talking about it?
Absolutely. you know, one of the things, too, and I've got to talk about, is Eagle Theater.
Yes.
Obviously.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know, the pandemic in 2020 kind of kicked everybody's butt, and Eagle Theater specifically, you know, a lot of movie theaters didn't survive the pandemic. Thankfully, Eagle Theater is one that is, and they've been a longtime sponsor and supporter of the podcast here.
Absolutely.
Certainly appreciate it. And I was so excited a couple weeks ago, I had the chance to go see a movie
right.
for the first time in way too long.
Isn't it cool, though?
I went and saw the new Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, okay. Well, I
enjoyed the movie for what it was, but I enjoyed the movie more because it meant I could get back in the movie theater, have a way too big thing of popcorn, too much soda.
No, there's no such thing.
You
no,
know,
keep going.
Just, it was wonderful. So for me, I probably have a little bit of a rose-colored glasses idea of what Mortal Kombat actually was, simply because it meant I could go back to the movie theater.
Right. And I mean, that very simple thing of movie. I mean, again, like you said, Eagle Theater have been a proud supporter of this podcast for several years. And whenever the pandemic hit, one of the things that I was ready to go into theater and watch was Bloodshot, the superhero with Vin Diesel, based on Valiant Comics. And I love the comic. And all of a sudden I couldn't. And I thought, oh, I'm going to miss Bloodshot. Well, little did I know, I missed a whole freaking year of movies. And like you said, I went in, the first movie I went and saw was Nobody with Bob Odenkirk, which... phenomenal. But yeah, I mean, we're get back to seeing nerdy movies again.
I'll tell you what, and it's amazing. You know, we all have big TVs. We all have access to digital, whatever, but it is not the same.
Mm-mm.
When you go to see a movie like Kong versus Godzilla, you got to see that in the big screen. You've got to see that on the big screen in the movie theater. It just makes a difference.
Larger than life.
You like Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. I have a subscription for HBO Max. I could have watched Mortal Kombat at home, but it's just not the same.
No, nope, not at all. Some movies are just not meant to be watched on a small TV, no matter how big your 78-inch TV is.
Right, exactly.
That's still a small TV compared to those movie screens. So.
For sure.
And, you know, and the thing is, one of the things that tried around here, well, the Eagle Theater, they did a drive-in during the heat of it. They put up a sheet, basically, outside, and they had people drive into the parking lot. And I went to one of those. One of them, actually, we'll talk about that later on, but Jed Bryan, the director, his movie Unlisted Owner, he got to show that at a theater. I mean, it's been shown at a theater before, but this was like at a drive-in theater, and it's just like really cool thing. So that was kind of cool. They tried, but the pandemic didn't make things successful. So,
well, yeah, and they did a great job of finding ways to stay relevant, stay afloat. You know, so they did curbside concessions for a while, which was fantastic. If you were going to watch a movie at home, you could swing by Eagle Theater, get your big bag of popcorn and your soda. That way you weren't completely missing out on that Eagle Theater experience.
Exactly. And their popcorn is just phenomenal. I think movie theater popcorn in general is really good, but they do something special at Eagle, I think. Maybe that's just me, but I can't make popcorn like that.
Right.
And so I did several times, bought some curbside bags of popcorn and had me a feast.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, you know what? Let's run down. We're going to talk about a few things. Like I said, you know, it was a kind of a, I justified it to myself for not having the podcast because, well, all the nerdy things were gone. Well, they weren't gone. They just were different access than what we were used to. And so one of the big things we're going to talk about here are a lot of Disney Plus releases. Those Marvel continuation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we're going to talk about those. We'll talk about WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, or is it Captain America Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers. And then there's Loki coming up, which I'm kind of looking forward to. And then another thing I want to talk on, we talked about Jed earlier. He's got a new movie coming out, and I want to get him. He's going to be coming on the podcast one of these days, so we'll get him in here as well. Talk about, he's got several projects in the works. So let's talk about that. They filmed a movie out here.
I know. It was so exciting. I had literally nothing to do with it other than just hanging out backstage, behind the scenes, whatever you want to call it, and it was the coolest thing. Now, I am fortunate that I know the star of the movie.
I hear he's got a big head, though.
Oh, yeah, we can barely get him back in the building. But you are the star.
That's
of
right.
The upcoming movie. Now, we should say that what Jed filmed here was a trailer for the movie, which he has got a fundraising effort for coming up.
Yeah.
But very exciting, and it was really cool to be behind the scenes for that kind of thing.
And I'll tell you, the only reason I got to be the star is, I think, because I worked at a radio station he could film at.
Maybe. You know what? Whatever you got to do to get your foot
right?
in the door.
Right.
It beats the casting couch. So.
Absolutely. Because those things are uncomfortable. Let's see. We'll also talk about not only Disney Plus, but Amazon released Robert Kirkman's work, Invincible. That was a surprise.
It was fantastic. It was, you know, at a time when we're all sort of clamoring for great new nerdy stuff to watch, Invincible was fantastic. Oh. And the way they did the first episode kind of tricked you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching the first episode and the credits roll and you think, oh, well, that was sweet. It's a really dynamic father-son kind of. Oh,
right.
So yeah, we'll talk about that for sure coming up.
I want to talk about Mortal Kombat. I have not seen it. You saw it. I want to get your reactions on it. And, you know, so that's what we're going to talk about today. So you know what? We got a lot to talk about. Let's just get right on into it. Let's talk about Disney Plus.
I'll tell you what, you know, Marvel has managed to succeed where I think few other organizations have been able to, because the pandemic, while it did cause them to pull back, pivot, and have to rejigger their schedule a little bit, it really ultimately didn't hurt them.
No.
WandaVision was spectacular, and I actually really enjoy the kind of long-form storytelling that they're able to do over a 10-hour, give or take, arc when it comes to something like a WandaVision. You're able to dive a little deeper into those characters.
Yeah, and it's like what, like a year's worth of comic books that you get on, you know, on the screen for, you know, a little while. You just get one issue a week. And a lot of people complain, well, why don't they just drop it all at once? Well, because you'd watch it all at once, you'd want more. So,
well, that's the thing. I had to learn how to be, you know, the 1990s again,
yes,
or 80s,
yes,
when you waited week to week to see the new episode of the thing you love.
Back in the Stone Ages.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. But, yeah, I mean, Disney Plus, for me, has just been knocking it out of the park with, yeah, Mandalorian, and then rolling right into WandaVision, and then Falcon and Winter Soldier, both just fantastic. And particularly Falcon and Winter Soldier, I really liked. Well, I suppose I could say the same about WandaVision, because it made me really love characters that I, yes, was just kind of lukewarm about anyway.
You get to actually know them.
Right.
Well, that's one of the things, like, it's basically, we were watching 10-hour movies, an hour at a time, you,
right,
know? And the one thing nice about it, just like every Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, post-credit scenes. Well, we get 10 post-credit scenes now, you know, because one each week. And that was kind of a neat little deal. Now, let's start with WandaVision. Now, WandaVision, it actually covered an arc in the comics back in the day. I mean, yeah, they had to tweak it here and there for TV, movie, whatever. But they covered an arc that's already been told, but now it brought to life in the screen. And they were so successful. I mean,
yeah,
it just really, like you said, made you like the character more. Well, one of the things, I was a huge fan of Vision back in the day and loved the green and gold and red costume. I don't know why, but I just love, and the fact that he could change, you know, go through any material and everything. Maybe that's what it was. I just wanted to go in the girls' locker room. Maybe.
Well, and one of the things I appreciated as kind of a cheeky nod to all of the hardcore comic book fans,
mm-hmm,
was in one of the episodes of WandaVision set at Halloween.
Yes.
You actually got them dressed in their 100% comic book accurate costumes, which was spectacular.
Right. And then just like, oh yeah, that's what I remember seeing. Love that. And then even Wanda had her, you know, Scarlet Witch costume that was just, it's like really brought some, and then the Quicksilver whole thing. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
They tricked us.
A little bit. Yeah. Yep. And I think we weren't the only ones that bid on that. I think, when WandaVision was going on, a lot of the nerd sphere,
mm-hmm,
just exploded over the, this is how they're doing it. This is how they're going to bring in the Fox X-Men, and this is how they're going to tie it all together.
Yep.
And
Evan Peters, he's going to be Quicksilver instead of that other guy that,
yep,
was in Kick, you know, but no. And like, oh, this, because I love Evan Peters.
Yeah.
He was a great Quicksilver. He,
yep,
was funny, and he worked it. And then they bring him in here, and you're like, oh, and everybody just like, it was a big nerdgasm going around the world at that
pretty
time.
Pretty much.
And then they come in. Well, again, spoilers. If you haven't seen it, what are you waiting on?
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen it, you may want to skip the couple seconds here. But he wasn't.
Right. And it's a beautiful. It's ultimately a beautiful payoff in the end. Now, I mean, you know, it was great. It was great fan service that they brought him back to play the role of Quicksilver, not necessarily the way all of us kind of wanted it to,
yeah,
be, but, you know,
it was just a long run for a dick joke is what it was.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was
worth it. And it's fantastic. Seriously. If you haven't watched WandaVision yet, if you've been holding off for whatever reason, maybe you don't have a subscription to Disney Plus. I think WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm,
the upcoming Loki series, the upcoming, all of the stuff,
anything,
that Marvel,
yeah,
is doing on Disney Plus makes Disney Plus, I think, a no brainer.
Well, right now, one of the things I'm actually thinking about getting interested, I've never been a huge Star Wars fan. I mean, I loved Mandalorian. That was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But that one has actually brought me back into the Star Wars fold, if you will. But this Bad Batch animation they got going, I'm kind of tempted to get, because of what Disney Plus is doing, I know I can trust them.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I might get into this one.
You know the quality of material,
yeah,
you're going to get from them, and it's pretty spectacular. I'll admit that I have enjoyed Star Wars. I am not the biggest Star Wars fan. Star Trek was always,
right,
my jam.
Same here. Yep.
But I mean, Mandalorian was fantastic, and I'm of an age where the original three trilogy,
right,
is my Star Wars.
Yep.
I have watched and enjoyed to an extent the prequel trilogies and the sequel trilogy. But Mandalorian, I really think, just absolutely nailed the vibe of the original trilogy.
Yeah,
for me.
Definitely so. Definitely. It had that feeling. Well, I mean, at the end there.
Yeah.
They had, for you, those of you who don't know, is Jar Jar Binks made it. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Speaking, yeah, speaking of a nerdgasm,
yes,
I heard the galaxy over.
Right. Oh my gosh. Whenever Luke, spoilers, but whenever Luke Skywalker comes in, is just like, you could just hear a collective, in the universe.
Absolutely.
And it was awesome.
It was spectacular. And yeah, so Disney Plus keeps killing it with all of these shows.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, man. So good.
Right.
So good. And amazingly relevant to the world that we live in today.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so very much almost ripped from the headlines kind of storytelling. And kudos to the folks at Marvel, the folks at Disney Plus, because I know they had to, again, pivot because of COVID-19.
Yeah.
You know, Falcon and Winter Soldier was supposed to happen a little later in the schedule. I think we were supposed to get Black Widow before we got Falcon and Winter Soldier. So I think there was some storytelling things that they had to mess with in order to get it to play in the timeline that they're kind of looking at. And I think from everything I've read and seen, there was a germ warfare or pandemic storyline that was supposed to be part of Falcon and Winter Soldier that ultimately hit the cutting room floor because
too close to home.
Yeah, we were all living in it. We didn't necessarily want to see it on TV too.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Falcon and Winter Soldier was fantastic, and I am so excited to see what the future of those two characters, Falcon slash Captain America and Bucky slash the White Wolf.
Yeah. They didn't really hint too much on how, well, they hinted that that's what's going to happen, but everybody that reads the comics, they know that's what's going to happen. So it's like, that's one of those, but Captain America, Falcon as Captain America, that's like, they hit that one right on. It's like, okay, this is it, guys.
And I mean, you talk about Marvel just going, okay, fine. You want an absolute comics accurate representation of a superhero? Boom.
Yep.
Here's Falcon as Captain America. And I mean, the suit with the wings perfect. And everything looked right off the pages. Just, of
yep, they ripped it. And that's the thing about that series is they actually took several Captain America story arcs and put in there. Like there was the Isaiah Bradley story from the Truth running of Captain America, where he was.
I'm hoping that they got enough of a response from that story arc that we get, even if it's a short 6-episode prequel series that runs with that Red, White, and Truth story arc. I think that'd be fantastic.
That would, and I think they could do it. And with the guy that the actor played as Isaiah Bradley was spot on. He'd played a superhero before. Did you know that?
I did not.
There's an old TV series back in the mid to late 90s called Mantis. And he had created this kind of a costume, if you will, that he could do. He was a superhero. It was a short run series, really good. And he was the Mantis. And it was really cool. It was back in the day when they didn't realize that comic books had already been written. They had to create new stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of intellectual property out there that is up for sale.
It's already been written. All you got to do is put it on the film.
So, absolutely.
But yeah, he was, and I saw him right away. I'm like, oh, hey, that's Mantis. And then he just like, oh, wait, no, he should be Captain America.
Yeah. So if, again, like with WandaVision, if you have been holding off on seeing Falcon and Winter Soldier, check it out. It is worth it.
One of my favorite things about the series was that, you know, there's a scene in, what was it? Is it at one point wherever Falcon's sitting in the front seat, Bucky gets to the back, you're not going to move the seat up. They reverse that in this series. They still played on that interaction between the two. They still played on that throughout the whole series.
Yeah, that sort of brotherly hatred rivalry thing.
Friendship rivalry. Yeah. Frenemies. Yeah.
Yeah, frenemies. Yeah, and it's fantastic. And that's, they did so many things throughout Falcon and Winter Soldier that call back to the movies that, if you have seen the movie, and that's the other thing I love that Marvel has done throughout the entire cinematic universe, throughout these now two series, WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, is if you have seen all of the movies, you get little bit of nuggets out of each of the things. But if you haven't seen any of them, you can still watch Falcon and Winter Soldier, and it's still a self-contained story.
And plus, Disney Plus did one other thing, is they took a thing called Legends, and right before they released WandaVision, they had every appearance of Wanda in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Then they also had one, and they're like about 20-30 minutes each.
Right.
And they had every appearance of Vision in there and how he developed throughout. They did the same with Falcon and Winter Soldier. So, you know, okay, well, maybe you didn't watch it, but you can get a summary right now.
Disney Plus gives you the crib notes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it worked.
And then, you know, looking ahead, I can't wait to see what the Loki series ends up being.
That one looks cool.
It looks a ton of fun. Owen Wilson is in it. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a blast.
Wow.
Wow. Owen Wilson's in it. And I have no idea what to expect. You know, I think all of us kind of went into WandaVision going, I don't know. It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
And holy moly, was WandaVision weird.
It was super psychedelic.
I will tell you this. If you haven't watched WandaVision, get through the first three episodes before you make up your mind.
Yeah.
At least. The first two episodes are a little, what the hell am I watching?
Right.
The third episode, you go, oh. And by the end of the series, you'll be completely hooked. Falcon and Winter Soldier, many fewer surprises.
Yeah.
Because we kind of knew what we were getting into with those two. We kind of suspected what that story might be. But, and then Loki is just, it looks like going to be a bit of a crapshoot.
Yeah. I have no idea what to expect. Rumors on the internet that I've seen are that they're trying to make Loki into a good guy. I mean, there were runs of the comics where he was the good guy and he actually teamed up with Thor, and even in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that he's done that, he's helped out, but he's always still going to be the practical Joker.
Right.
So I'm wanting to see how they kind of do this. Again, I don't have any idea, but yeah. I'm going to watch it anyway.
Yeah. And we're Loki. At the time we are recording this, we're about a month away, I think, from Loki dropping on Disney Plus. So, I mean, it's coming up even really quickly.
Wow.
So I'm very much looking. All right, Owen. Wow.
Wow. I'm sorry, I get that stuck in my head.
I'm looking forward to Loki. One of the things that I think is fun that I've seen, you know, in the trailers is they're tying Loki at least to Pompeii. They're tying Loki to D.B. Cooper, it looks like.
Okay, I saw something about that.
So it's like Loki's being tied into, obviously, Pompeii isn't an urban legend.
Right.
But there are a couple of other things that they're tying Loki to that are these sort of weird urban legend-y things.
So it's Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Forrest Gump.
Yeah, something like that. Right, yeah, they're just plugging Loki into all of the historical places.
I can see it. Pretty soon, Giorgio Tsoukalos will make an appearance. It was Loki, not aliens.
Yeah, who knew?
So, I can't wait because, again, they've done great so far. I mean, I trust what they're going to do. Same reason I'm thinking about going back to the Star Wars world. They done it right. They're not going to mess this up. They couldn't. There's no way. Of course, famous last words. Hopefully not.
Famous last words. and then a new series. I'm going to say new because it you know it's finished now, but it hasn't been out that long. Is on Amazon Prime, and you referenced it earlier. Series called Invincible.
Yes.
It is an animated superhero show, but. Do not watch it with your children.
Oh, gosh. Well, tell you what, though. Like you said, the first episode, the first half of the episode before the credits. By the way, this is a series that they don't do post-credit scenes. What they do is mid-scene credits, you know, mid-show credits.
Exactly.
It's like, because in the middle, I mean, there was like a 40-minute episode, I remember one time, and 10 minutes into it, the credits start rolling. I'm like, that can't be all. And then they go on with the rest of the show, and I'm like, okay. So they've perfected the mid-movie credits, so and then all of a sudden there's more to go, but yeah, that first episode post-credit scene, wow.
Yeah, and it's new enough that we're not going to talk we're not going to do a deep dive into it, because if you haven't watched it, you really owe it to yourself to check it out, particularly if you're a fan of The Walking Dead. This
right.
is the same guy that did The Walking Dead, and I get a kick out of it. I saw a couple of interviews with him where he joked a little bit that he might have some issues because he seems to always pivot toward graphic violence at, you know, The Walking Dead and now Invincible. It is very graphic. It is very violent. And he said it is probably the most gory and graphic thing he's ever worked on.
I could see that.
For a guy that brought us The Walking Dead, that seems like a, you know.
It's like, that's a bit much. Right. Well, I got to do a little shout out. My friend Billy Cooper, he runs the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo. And again, due to COVID, they've not been able to do this, but it's just another Comic-Con in Bloomington, Indiana. Anyway, he posted when the comic first came out, and he goes, you guys need to get your hands on this comic. This is one of the coolest comics I've ever read. And this guy, he reads a lot of comics, but he's also pretty stingy with his reviews like that. You know, it's like, if it's bad, he'll let you know.
Right.
But he was praising it all over. And I remember seeing that a few years ago. And then all of a sudden the series came out. If you're not watching this, you need to be watching it now. It's like, all right, fine, I'll watch it. You know, so I got to watch it. And then I told you about it. I said, you need to watch this.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those series that it took a while to catch on. And now that it's caught on, one of the things he went out and did whenever it first came out in comic book form, he bought all the comics, and he doesn't like alternate covers, but those comics he loves so much that he bought all the alternate covers. Well, now that the series is finished, there's one issue number one, original release is up to $2,500 value.
Yeah.
And he goes, I should sell this.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's amazing how when a series like this drops, then the value of the comic, everybody goes, oh, I didn't know about this thing.
Right.
And then they go check it out. Well, I saw some one YouTuber, I think, make the correlation. You know, a couple of years ago, we all saw pictures of J.K. Simmons.
Uh-huh.
Just jacked.
Uh-huh.
He was in the gym. He was lifting. Just ripped. And someone made the comment, because he is such a method actor, we now know that he was getting ripped to voice Omni-Man.
Wow.
And Invincible. And wow. I'm going, okay, maybe. I can't say that that's wrong. But
it fits. It works. Because he was, well, the character is Omni-Man. He's like Superman, basically. He's like all powerful, you know? And so, and that's the thing. That's one thing about this series, too. J.K. Simmons as the main character. Awesome. But all the other voice actors, just incredible pool of talent. First of all the Walking Dead cast are in there pretty much. But there's like, what's his name? Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Well, that was, I'm watching it and one of the aliens shows up in a scene and I went, hang on. That's that stoner guy,
right.
Isn't it?
Right.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. It is a lot of fun. Some amazing voice actor talent behind it. And a ton of fun. If you haven't watched Invincible yet on Amazon Prime, again, I know I'm costing a lot of people money, but it is worth the monthly subscription to Amazon Prime to check out Invincible.
Invincible alone, yeah.
You know.
Well, then let's kind of give a little. Here's another reason to justify Amazon Prime. You got the Expanse.
I love the Expanse.
That's another great series that's only available on Amazon. But although they had to get rid of one guy that was like one of my favorite characters because he did some things on Twitter and or however that goes. And I hate that they can take people's pass for that. But anyway, so if you need another justification, not just Invincible, well, then you can also do Expanse or just get a month's subscription and, you know, cancel after a month. I don't know.
There you go. Watch the good stuff.
But Invincible got approved for two more seasons.
I know.
Isn't that going to be awesome?
I was like, yes.
And with the season ending episode, we need more.
Yeah.
Just like,
well,
oh,
and Invincible, it was one of those series that I watched. And when the last episode was over, I went, no, there must be more.
Right.
There must. I went to the,
you can't leave me hanging.
I went to the, if you like that, you'll like this section on Amazon Prime, and going, please give me more. So much so. And it really is done in very much of an anime style. I think it's safe to say that a lot of the action sequences, especially, feel very anime-esque.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I asked my son, if I wanted to really get into anime and start watching some stuff, where should I start? Because the one he's real passionate about, I know Isaac is as well, is Dragon Ball Z.
Yep.
And I told Logan, I said, I'm not ready to bite that off because there's like 500 episodes and 6 different iterations of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Alpha or whatever it is.
Right.
Oh, wait, I got to start with something smaller. So I think I'm going to, he's turned me on to a couple on Netflix that he thinks I need to start watching. So I'm going to try to dip my toe into the anime stuff. So.
Well, yeah, Isaac got me hooked on anime. One of the big ones that he got me on was JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. Check that out. Now, at first, I'm like, ooh, wait, what? And because the way they have the artwork in it is just, it's stylized. Let's put it that way for now. But it's like, what? And then you get into the stories and all the story arcs. And plus, they use classic rock music as their closing themes. Like, Yes is Roundabout is in the first season and so on. But anyway, yeah, so that's one. And then from then on, I'm hooked. And that's why whenever I saw Invincible, I told Isaac, I said, you need to watch this. I said, it's got some elements you're going to like. And I already watched the first 3 episodes, and so I'll watch them again with you,
right?
Because they're that good. And so we watched them, and as I was watching, I picked up on little, they were great at foreshadowing throughout the whole series. If you watch it over again, you're going to say, oh yeah, that comes up later,
right?
You know, and so anyway, so I got that out of it. But Isaac, then I couldn't watch it. He would not let me watch it until he got back home from college.
Yeah, that's always the catch 22. Like, my wife, I'll get I'll be watching something like WandaVision, and she'll be like, what is this that you're watching? Because she's not huge into the comics like I am. And then she'll sit down and she'll watch an episode, and then all of a sudden it's, well, all right, well, you can't watch this without me.
Exactly. And it's like, why did I get you in this?
Okay.
But it's good to have someone to watch with.
It is. It is.
I mean, sure, mine of your stories, you know, at the end of each episode, like on a Friday when they drop the new Invincible Monday, we'd talk about it. Yeah, that's cool, but it's better to have someone, did you see that?
Well, and it makes me feel like a hero when we're watching like WandaVision or Falcon and Winter Soldier, and we'll be in the middle of an episode, and she'll ask a question, and I'll pause it, and I'll be like, okay, here's why this thing makes sense, and pay attention to that. It's going to be important in a minute, you know.
So all of a sudden you become smart again.
Yeah.
I know.
For that brief period in our relationship, I'm smart again. So
it works. It works. It's a good reason. Yeah. And like I said, Isaac, in fact, over the weekend. Yeah. By the way, Isaac will be back. He'll be doing some video game reviews or whatever else I can con him into. He's fully emerged in the audio world because he's on the radio there at Eastern Illinois University. So following in his dad's footsteps, or should I say, oh crap, he's following his dad's footsteps. He's never going to make it in life. But anyway, but yeah, so I'm going to have him, whether he's at college or at home, to record some bits for that. So he'll be showing up later. But anyway, so after I got him, we finished up the whole season of Invincible. He had a friend of his come over and was on his way to, basically they're moving out of their college dorms. And so he was like going to spend the night so he can get a good early start. Well, in the middle of the night, I hear these explosions and stuff coming from the TV. I'm like, oh, they're probably watching some anime. Well, the next morning I get up, he goes, yeah, I showed Joey Invincible. He loves it too. And I'm like, right on.
Absolutely.
Sharing the wealth. So, but yeah, it's one of those series that it's not your conventional comic book, and yet it still is. In fact, first part of the first episode, I felt like I was watching a 90s superhero animated series.
And that reminds me, because another reason to get Amazon Prime, Invincible, yes. Expanse, absolutely. The Boys.
Oh, gosh,
and,
yes.
And if you enjoy The Boys, you're going to love Invincible.
Yes.
Because it plays with that same sort of, what if the superheroes aren't good?
Yep, yep.
What if they are just a bunch of assholes?
Like Homelander.
Yeah, like Homelander.
In The Boys.
And, you know, so it is a fun show. Definitely check out Invincible.
Well, let's talk about, well, while we're at it here, let's talk about The Boys. We didn't write this down on our list. We have a list here of what we want to talk about because Tony and I get sidetracked easy.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, like this example, perfect. The Boys. It's based on a comic book series about what if the superheroes, sure, they're protecting us, but this one, they're run by corporations, and the corporations, we all know, they're evil.
Right, absolutely.
So, but this one, it's like the superheroes are protecting us, and everybody praises them, but they're not so good.
Right.
And like one of the guys that starts to fight the boys, first of all, Carl Urban is awesome. I just got to say that.
I've been a fan of Carl Urban's for a minute or two. I think by far he is the best Judge Dredd.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Let me say that.
Yeah.
I think he was impeccably cast as Dr. McCoy in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek universe. Yeah. And he is a blast in The Boys.
Oh my gosh. It's, he's got some words that I won't use on this podcast and mainly because I'm used to not saying them on the radio, but right. He's got some phrases that just knock you for a loop.
Yep.
And just fall over laughing. And, but he basically, these group of guys are like trying to destroy the superheroes that America's praising, trying to show that, hey, they're idiots.
Right.
And like, and one of the guys that joins them, oh shoot. What's the actor's name? His dad's famous. I can't think the lead actor there, the kid. Anyway,
I don't know. Hang on. IMDb.
And anyway, while you're looking that up, he's sitting there with his girlfriend. They're like, you know, longingly looking at each other's eyes. He's holding her hands, and all of a sudden, she blows up. A big, huge red cloud of blood and gore. And
see, I worry about myself when stuff like that happens because I laugh.
Yes.
Way, way harder than I should.
Yeah, exactly. And then you realize he's just sitting there holding two hands with, you know, just the hands, basically. And the speedster of the superhero group had just ran so fast that he blew right through her. And, oh, and you know you're in for a treat from then on.
Yeah.
And then the one, they catch one guy, there's no way to destroy his skin, so they insert a bomb up it, you know, and...
Yeah, well, they put it in one of the few openings that they could, get. Jack Quaid.
Jack Quaid, yeah.
Jack Quaid.
Randy Quaid's... Yeah. No, is it Dennis Quaid's son? I think it's Dennis Quaid's son. I forget. One of the Quaid sons.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, he does phenomenal. And the comic book artist actually wrote that part for, again, I'm going to, my brain's just jumping out of my head right now. So the guy that was in Star Trek, he played Scotty. And he's also was in that zombie film. Anyway, but. And they originally got him. He wrote him as the character. And if you look at the comics, it looks just like this guy.
Simon Pegg.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and Simon Pegg actually plays his dad. Right?
Yeah. So they brought him in. Yeah, but at that, when you see the comics, you see Simon Pegg's face.
Right.
But this kid is like, all right, and they got him to play his dad. So it's really worked out nice. But it's just one of those. The whole thing is, you know, not all superheroes are good.
Right.
And these guys, Homelander is an ass. The fish guy.
Yeah, their knockoff of Aquaman, the Deep.
The Deep. He's got a character.
Oh, I'll tell you what, when his gills started to sing to him as Patton Oswalt, I died.
Uh-huh.
I died. And I can say that without any spoilers, because it's worth the price of admission just to see his gills sing and talk to him in Patton Oswalt's voice.
Exactly.
It's spectacular.
And it's a great series. It talks about humanity. It talks about... you know, how we put too much faith in leaders, really.
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of timely.
Absolutely.
And that's another one. You need to check it out. It's awesome. If you haven't, do so as soon as you can. And if you have, you know what? Send us a note. Let us know what you think about it. You know, and that's one thing I want to start here. I'll talk more about it towards the end of the podcast. But if people want to communicate with us, I want to give emails and Twitters and stuff like that so
absolutely.
They can contact us. And I would like to hear more input from listeners.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one of the things we got to talk about before we wrap up for this episode is Jed Bryan, independent filmmaker from down around this area, was looking for a location to film, like I said, a trailer for a project that he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in conversations with you and said, what I really need is somebody who has access to a radio station, Gil.
Well, let's learn a little history here. First of all, Jed Bryan, he's not a stranger to the podcast. We've interviewed him a couple times. He created a movie, a found footage horror film called Unlisted Owner, in which these kids go out camping and they find out that this home that there are murders in. So, hey, they decide to get drunk and go to this house and
as
the fun
kids,
begins.
As kids are wont to do.
Exactly. And it makes, I'll tell you one thing, the horror film, and again, it's found footage. There's certain times I'm like, yeah, fine. Found footage had its day.
Well, you know, the Blair Witch Project worked really well.
Yeah.
And then there was a gajillion of copycat films that came out after the Blair Witch Project.
Yep. And so. It's like, are we overdone? But the nice thing about his is that, yeah, it's found footage. Yeah. You got people that's the point is that they're not supposed to be actors.
Right.
And you get this one guy, and this is funny. There's one guy in the film that he is the biggest jerk in the film. You just hate this guy.
He's one of those that when he gets his comeuppance, you're like, yes.
Exactly. And the thing is, as a person, the actor, freaking nicest guy in the world. I'm like, holy crap, you're good at acting. Because I hate you.
I really don't like you.
And that's one of the things about that movie is that he created these characters. And at the end, there's a scare at the end of this film that just not only it scares you to your core. It's like it's a little bit of a jump scare, but at the same time, it's got this psychological scare going on too. So I enjoyed that movie and an independent film. Well, then he and I teamed up on we did a short for the movie 13 Slaves Till Christmas. And that was a film put out by PJ Starks, his production company. And what it is, he took all these independent filmmakers, had them make little short 4-minute vignettes, and he put them together into 13 Slaves. There are 12 of those. And then of course the final story is the one that wraps it all together.
Yeah. And it is a super fun. I had an opportunity to see it on Blu-ray here not too long ago, and it's a fun one of those sort of anthology type, you know, where all 13 of the or 12 or so of the stories are kind of not really tied together, but they're all part of the overarching story, which is a lot of fun. And in fact, over the weekend, I was telling my family about Kringle the Christmas Clown,
yep,
and describing it and. again, I worry about myself because I'm describing Kringle the Christmas Clown's appearance in the movie and the demise of one of the characters, and I'm expressing this in like giddy detail. And my mom looks like she's about to be sick, going, "Oh my goodness, that's just horrible." No, it was awesome.
It was really good. And when the Christmas ornament fell, and it's really great. And so basically, he had me do the sound for that. And I, being an audio guy, you know, all my life, it made sense. And I'd never done film audio, so why not? I tried it, and it was easy. For me, easy.
Right.
And fun. And so then, the year following, COVID year, 2020, actually, we got filming done before COVID hit, back in February of last year. And it was released December of last year, the whole film, and it was delayed a little bit. They wanted to have it out before Christmas.
Right.
But COVID.
Life.
Yeah. And so anyway, so we had ours done. Well, during the summer, there were two horror conventions that still went on. I mean, they had it extremely well mapped out. The tables were far apart. Everybody wore masks the whole day. Visitors wore masks. And it was people still got to go to a con. And that's one of the things we missed during 2020 was going to cons. Well, we still got to go. Well, one of the trips we went to is down to Louisville, Kentucky. And it was an independent horror film con. And Jed was there, had a table. He goes, "Hey, can you help me do the table? Since you did sound, you're one of the crew members." I'm like, "Is that just a way to get free labor?" okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, right.
So we got to go set up. And during that process, on the trip to Louisville, he described to me, he says, "Oh, I got this idea for a film." He goes, "I don't know yet what I want to do with it, but here's the script." And so for the 2-3 hour trip, he gave me the script. He just recited what he has as a script. And it turns out the name of the movie is Radio Tower Road. And basically it's a zombie apocalypse type film. And the DJ at the radio station is the hero, sort of. Anyway, it's me as the DJ. anyway, so he described this and I'm just like, "Wow, that's cool." I said, and I brought it up, you know, I always want to play the devil's advocate. I said, "Yeah, but are zombie movies overdone?" I was like, "I mean, you got Walking Dead's kind of burned out a lot of people."
Right.
Because I gave up on Walking Dead and I loved it. Are they overdone? And he goes, "No." He goes, "Zombie movies always have a place. I mean, I'll go back and watch Night of the Living Dead lots of times." I'm like, "All right, I can agree with that." So then he comes up with the idea and he says, "I just don't know how to film it or where to film it or anything like that yet." I'm like, "Well, let me know when you come up with us. I'd be glad to help out any way I can." Well, then this guy named Rocky Gray, he did the soundtrack for our little short for the 13 Slaves Till Christmas. And Rocky Gray is the drummer, or the first drummer for Evanescence. The one big album they had, he was the drummer.
Right.
And so Rocky does a lot of film scores. Well, Rocky is also an independent filmmaker. So he's doing a movie called 1031 Part 3. And so he apparently did 1031 Part 1 and 2. So now he's doing Part 3. And he asked Jed, he goes, "Hey, I want to include some fake trailers in this movie, you know, for scenes that require that they're watching something." And so, you know, all right, Jed goes, "I had this one," and he had one that he had produced just for fun years ago. And he goes, "No, I want something newer," because that one was kind of dated. It's something about a meth house, and it was a horror film based on meth house.
Okay.
I was like, "Whoo." Are
zombies, kind of.
Pretty much, yeah. That's true. That is true. Their flesh is decaying. And
That's right.
and so he goes, "No, not that, not something newer." And Jed goes, "Well, I got this idea. I'm wanting to turn it into a film. I can make a trailer out of it for you." So what he did, he said, "Little Gil, would you like to be in a movie?" I'm like, "No." Who would want to do that?
The possibility for fame and fortune? I think not.
Who would? And so anyway, so he goes, "Well, I want to do Radio Tower Road." I'm like, "Oh, that one you described." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "But we're only going to do like a little thing for a trailer. And if you can get permission to do it at the radio station, because it has to have a radio tower in it." Okay. Let's do it. And so we got permission from the owners and everything, all the praise we could and all the, you know, blessings we could. And we did it. We got some extras from around the area. And I was the guy in the DJ behind the booth that gets to shoot a zombie with an AK-47. Well, who wouldn't want to do that?
Right. Yeah. "Hey, Gil, we want you to be in a movie and we're going to let you wield an AK-47. How do you feel about that?"
"Okay.
Where do I find?"
Yeah.
And it was a blast to be here for that. Like I said, early on, I have no dog in the fight. I did some artwork hanging around.
You did
around
some graphic
studio,
design for us.
Sort of that world building type background stuff. And then it was just like, hey, Jed, can I, you know, can I hang out while you guys are filming at the station?
You know, well, either way, I would have said, well, Tony's a representative of the station. Right. He has to be here.
Thank you. It's good to know you've got my back on that. So
I was ready for
it. Absolutely weaseled my way into being, and I did my very best to stay out of any of the shots because I don't want to be the guy from like Mandalorian that you see in the background, kind of half standing behind a wall somewhere.
Right.
I don't want to be that blue jeans guy from Mandalorian.
Or the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, or the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, and you did well, too, because I understand that at one point you were hiding behind one area and I didn't know you were there. But apparently I made you crap your pants. So, but let me give it the gist. Basically, it's a zombie apocalypse. They come into the radio station. And I fight one off, and I shoot him, and then I'm supposed to go meet my movie wife, and then the story is them coming together. And so that's the general idea. And so there's one point where I'm fighting the zombie. Well, oh, yeah, before I go up there, I go, hey, you're not supposed to be here. I put my hand on his shoulder, and he turns around, and he attacks me. Well, even the director of photography got scared at that moment. He goes, whoa, I was not ready for that action.
Yeah, I love being, again, behind the scenes, and you hear the director of photography going, all right, I was not ready for that movement. We need to cut, reshoot.
And we got to not scare me. And then, in that point, you know, he wrestles, we fight down the hallway. It's a short hallway, but I'm an old man. That was a hard fight. And then I run into the studio and I bar the door. That's where Tony comes in.
Holy moly. Yeah, I was standing behind the scenes and I'm watching Gil backpedal down a dark hallway into the on-air studio. And he slammed the door so hard, I honestly God thought he took a header into the console. And I jumped up and almost rounded the corner because I thought for sure he was dead. But phenomenal acting.
Acting.
You are an actor.
And then I get to shoot the zombie with an AK-47. Now, the thing about this is it's going to be included in the 1031 Part 3 film. But here's the cooler part. Is all the filming. I mean, we filmed Friday night down at the state park because it was a real creepy road and just had a couple scenes there. And then we filmed from 11 a.m. until 2:30 in the morning on Sunday, 11 a.m. Saturday, 2:30 a.m. Sunday, all day here. So there's a lot of footage.
Well, it's one of the things I did learn while behind the scenes is movie making is about 45 minutes worth of prep to shoot a 2-minute scene, followed by 45 minutes worth of prep to shoot a 2-minute scene.
The same 2-minute scene from a different angle.
2-minute scene from a different angle. And part of the reason it did take so long is because there were certain shots that Jed wanted to capture at night or at dusk.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we can't speed the earth up. So we all just have to kind of wait until the sun goes down and, you know.
But craft services are really good. That was a good thing.
Yeah,
we had some good food.
Absolutely.
So basically he took this and he got it edited down and he contacted me. He's still doing some final edits and some touch up, but he got it down. He goes, I got it down to 4 minutes. I'm like, okay. And he goes, that's too long. I was like, oh yeah, that would be too long for a little trailer. And so then he cut it down to, I think it's down to 1.5 minutes, and that's what's going to be in the movie. But that 4-minute version, he's going to use as his Kickstarter, Indiegogo, whatever, you know, you have to have a video. And he's going to use that as the selling point to make the movie and get it funded. And eventually it'll be a full movie called Radio Tower Road. And by the way, Tony is actually, he's being a little more humble. His voice is in this trailer too.
Yeah, no, I was really excited. And trust me, all of my family has heard that story. My voice is going to be in the trailer. Now, not necessarily the way I was hoping I could get my voice in the trailer because I've always wanted to be that guy. Radio Tower Road, where the air isn't the only thing that's dead.
Ooh,
you know, something along those lines. I'm, you know, as I think a lot of people are, enamored with those voices. And when I was growing up, the guy that did all of the movie trailers, Don LaFontaine, you know, he's the one that everybody knows as in a world, one man, one voice, that kind of thing. And so the idea of doing voiceover for a movie trailer would be spectacular. Now, this little 1.5-minute snippet isn't necessarily going to have VO for it, but believe me, Jed has not heard the last of me.
Yeah, I can guarantee that. But it, as what it is, he had to have a fake commercial for a haunted house in it.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Tony, would you like to do this? About 30 seconds later. I mean, it's a 30-second commercial. I mean, he had it whipped out. Like, I think he traveled through time or something.
Well, and honest to God, the most, the biggest compliment and the most ego stroke I got out of that was you saying that you talked to Jed and Jed saying, this is absolutely perfect. This was everything I wanted it to be and actually a little more. Yep. So I'm like, that's
and
awesome. So
you're going to be, and it's actually, you're going to be used as a jump scare.
Such a nerd. Good grief.
So, but yeah, so basically, and we're going to get Jed on the air or on the podcast here coming up soon because he's got so many projects in the works. He's been in movies during the COVID thing, little shorts here and there, and he's been helping some of the other local independents. So we'll get him on here to talk about these projects. But yeah, I mean, we had fun with it. And being behind the scenes in a movie alone is just the coolest thing. Yeah, it's an independent film. And it's not a Marvel Cinematic Universe film, but I don't care.
No, it's a Lawford County Cinematic Universe film.
There you go.
So,
and boy, does he have a cinematic universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so be on the lookout for that 1031. It's part three. Rocky Gray is the director, producer, writer. I'm not sure what all he did with it, but definitely he's got our clip in it, and that's coming out this October. And then Jed's will be coming up, so be ready for that. Be
absolutely
ready. All right, so before we leave here, you saw Mortal Kombat.
I did.
I did not get to see it.
I saw Mortal Kombat.
I want to see it because it's, to me, in my mind, way I picture it, it's one of those popcorn movies where you're going to go in, shut off your brain, just watch some action.
It absolutely is. And, you know, and I've seen a lot of people that kind of knock it because the one thing that they don't do in the new 2021 Mortal Kombat movie is they don't actually have a Mortal Kombat tournament.
Oh,
you know, the whole premise of Mortal Kombat is that it's a tournament for Earthrealm and yada, yada, yada. So there are a lot of people who are a little miffed that they managed to leave out the tournament part of Mortal Kombat. But it was a fun movie. Visual effects are great. And as you mentioned, no, Mortal Kombat isn't winning any Oscars. The Academy is not knocking down the door. But it was a fun. And like I said, I've got a little bit of rose-colored glasses for it because it was the first time. And let me say this, too. One of the things that Eagle Theater was getting ready to do in early 2020, they'd started the project in late 2019, and early 2020, they began to refurbish all of the auditoriums at the theater. They were replacing the well-loved, well-worn theater seats, and they were upgrading many of them. Fewer seats in each auditorium, but they were upgrading them to the thicker padded recliner seats.
Super
They've got
goofy.
Some rocker seats. They've got some traditional, just regular theater seats. But the new seating at Eagle Theater is awesome. And I went and saw Mortal Kombat, my son and I, which you talked about, you and Isaac watching Invincible. Mm-hmm. And Logan and I, my son and I, went to see Mortal Kombat. Isn't it fantastic as a father of my son's 18, Isaac is what, 19?
20.
20?
Mm-hmm. 21 Lord. This year, by the way.
Ugh. Good grief. But it's fantastic when you can find those things where they don't mind hanging out with dad.
Right? Yes, you exactly. Know?
And so again, rose-colored glasses for me, first time in the movie theater in a minute. My son was with me. We hung out, and we had the opportunity. I am notorious for going to the earliest showing humanly possible because most people don't go to those showings.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I have the theater to myself, or in this case, it was just Logan and I. So we could watch the movie and make all of the wisecrack, smartass comments back and forth to each other, and we didn't have to worry about offending anybody or upset. And I got to laugh out loud at the parts that I shouldn't laugh out loud at. Again, I should not find it so funny when somebody just gets eviscerated, but I
well,
do.
Well, it is.
But it is. It's a fun movie. It is absolutely a popcorn flick. Get your big bucket of popcorn, get your soda, turn off your brain, and, you know, watch some people kick the crap out of each other.
Yeah. Well, and you got to realize, I mean, like you said, the Oscars aren't beating down any doors. Well, it's based on a side-by-side fighting game.
That's right.
You know?
I get a kick out of it when the people hold Mortal Kombat movie to such a high standard.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, it's a side-scrolling fighting game.
Right. Yeah.
So, but it was fun. And if you get a chance, get out. I would say, no matter where you're listening to this podcast, out, get out and support your local theater.
Yeah.
Your local movie theater, your local acting theater.
Yes. Yes. You know,
whether it's a live stage production or whether it's going to see something on the big screen, it's important to support theaters.
Very much so. I mean, those actors, I'm one of them. We like to, you know, express ourselves in ways that we can't do in normal life.
Absolutely.
So this is the way we do it right there. So come see us. But also the movies. And I want to give a little more shout out to Eagle Theater. First of all, they've got the Streeter, Illinois. They've got Robinson, Illinois and Clinton, Illinois theaters. And these throughout Illinois, basically, you got your covered. And Eagle Theater does it right. That's one of the things. When our little bitty town got an Eagle Theater, it was just that was the only one. And the guy, Eric Gubelman, said, hey, we need a theater. We did. And it, not only did he make it easy, but it's a beautiful theater. And you get free refills on popcorn and soda, and you got special pricing. So it's not like the big city theaters where you have like 100 seats in this big arena where popcorn is going to cost you $15 for a small and, you know, things right. like that. It's he makes it right. So if you're in the any chance to get in Clinton, Streeter, or Robinson, Illinois to see one of the Eagle theaters, take advantage because those guys treat you right. They're very. It's like your family, you know. Right.
And they actually have a new one that is welcome to the Eagle Theater family in Warrenton.
Oh,
Warrenton, Missouri.
Okay, that's
yeah.
Right,
they've
right
got
by St. Louis.
Warrenton, Missouri, and then as you mentioned, Robinson, Clinton, and Streeter.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the independent theaters, which is what Eagle Theater is,
yeah.
independently owned theater. They were able to survive, I think, the COVID a little bit better than maybe the big megaplexes
mm-hmm.
because they were able to pivot, and they are so community supported.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and especially like the fact they try to drive-in aspect of it, and the curbside, you know, concessions, and the drive-in aspect. They used an independent filmmaker to have one of his
yeah.
films show from around the area. It's like that's the coolest thing you can do.
Yeah, and, yeah, they get a lot of support from the community, and they then in turn. They turn around and they support the community.
Yeah.
In fact, Eagle Theater is just announced the rundown for their upcoming free summer kids movie series.
Oh yeah. I love when they do that.
Every summer. Obviously they weren't able to.
Yeah.
In 2020, I'll be glad when we no longer have to say, you know, they weren't able to do it then, but typically in a normal year, they do free summer kids movie series and mm-hmm. they are 100% free. They're sponsored by various community members. And then the kids are able to go see movies. Now they're not first run movies, but they are still top tier.
Right,
movies.
Right. They're still the kids definitely want to see them because they're always sold out.
Right.
You know, that's the one thing when they do these things. So you got to get there, not early, but you got to get there in time. And one other thing about Eagle Theater, you know, they have these free summer movies for kids, but they also they do once in a while. I forget what it's for those that. You know, can't really sit still in theater and also
they have the sensory.
Yes.
The sensory showing
where that you can actually bring in. And knowing several children with autism,
mm-hmm.
Those kids, they're hard to take to a theater, but they want to go. And and the Eagle Theater offers that sensory.
Yeah, they call them sensory friendly shows.
Yeah. And they do that for kids.
They turn the volume down just a little bit.
Yep.
So you're not getting the cacophonous noise. They bring the lights up a little bit, so
not completely dark. Yeah,
and you know when you go to those showings, you understand that this is the audience, and you know Karens need not apply.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah. If you're wanting to go see a regular film, you wait till the later one. It's usually like on a weekend where they show these sensory ones, and it's like just don't go to those. But because the kids will be loud too, so that's another aspect of it.
And see, that's why Logan and I like to go to movies where there isn't a huge crowd.
Yeah,
because we're kind of loud too.
See, you guys are.
But yeah,
their
Eagle Theater's free summer kids movie series runs June 8th and 9th through August 3rd and 4th. They've wow. got Pets. They've got Trolls World Tour. They've got a Minions movie, Kung Fu Panda, Penguins, How to Train Your Dragon, Lego Movie, Happy Feet. Again, not first run movies,
no.
but still very, very much fun. And we all like to go to the movies, eat popcorn, and drink soda, and have a good time.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't mind seeing Lego Movie again. That was a fun movie.
Yeah.
So, all right. See, and that's what we like about it. And again, they're a long-time supporter of this podcast, and that's why we get them a little extra shout-out, a little extra love, because they return it.
Absolutely.
You know, to the community and everywhere else. So, all right. Well, I tell you what, felt good to sit back in this chair and do some more actually, a new chair.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've kind of taken over a back room at the radio station. You know, like a lot of places, we have some extra space. And I told the management, I said, hey, Gil does this podcast called the Nerd Up Podcast, and we're looking to set up a podcast studio So we're going to take over that back room. And so far, you know, it's been kind of one of those, forgiveness is easier to get than permission.
Right.
So I just told them we were doing this.
And the other aspect is we did not use any studio or any of the radio station's equipment necessarily, right, yeah. You know, we've got, maybe use their electricity or something, but
yeah.
You got your mixer, my mixer, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we set it up. It's a lot of fun. And that's where we're hoping to get back in here and do this on a weekly basis and talk about all things nerd and, interview some people that, I mean, I can't wait to have an opportunity to talk more in depth with Jed about some of his other upcoming projects.
Definitely so.
Talk a little bit about Radio Tower Road. So it should be exciting.
One of the other things I've got in mind is, there's a, so fun. Okay. First of all, back to the movie real quick. During the filming of the movie, the director of photography, Derek Huey, who, by the way, if you're not familiar, he does a lot of independent films. There's a movie out called Mrs. Claus. That's just, it's scary. It's creepy. And he was the director of photography. That's available on Amazon, by the way. Mrs. Claus. Anyway, he did that one. I always give him a hard time about it because it's one of those 80s slasher campy films.
Oh, I love those.
Right? So I give him a hard time about it just for kicks, you know, and he knows it. Anyway, we're doing the filming and there's a break whenever, you know, well, we have to wait till sunset and all this other fun stuff. So we're sitting around eating pizza and Derek goes, you know, I got to tell you, Gil, you're one of the best actors I've seen. He goes, that is so great. The way you pull off being a DJ is just like spot on. And I'm like, thank you. Wait a minute.
Yeah, and I couldn't help the opportunity to sit there and go, hey, Gil, you're really good at acting like a DJ.
At first, I thought he was going to be, you know, praising me. And I thought, you know, my ego is going to, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for like 30 some odd years. No acting involved.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But it was fun. But in that process, also, some of the other independent filmmakers came out and they helped him out with being extras zombies during the raid on the building. Moonlight Films out of Indiana, I think is where they're based out of. Anyway, they asked me if it's funny, would you like to be a DJ in one of ours? Yeah, but I can do other stuff.
Right. But, all of a sudden, you've been typecast as a DJ, oddly enough.
How did I figure it out? But anyway, so I'd like to get the guys from Moonlight Films to come in and actually talk about, because they got upcoming projects as well. In fact, one of them, Jed, just finished wrapping up with them as an actor for one of their films. So I'd like to get them in there too. So, and again, we'll just be bringing in guests, whatever we can. I mean,
absolutely. Well, have fun with it. You know, I'm hoping that it makes the cut for the Radio Tower Road trailer, because I know you and I talked, and you know, you were talking about the campy 80s horror flicks, and I said, dude, if you are going to shoot a zombie with an AK-47, there better be one of those campy 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis sort of catchphrases that you shoot him and you've got to come up with something.
Well, so. I got to tell this story because, yeah, I came up with one. After Tony inspired me, I came up with one. And I told the director, Jed Bryan, he goes, I don't know. He goes, that's kind of cheesy. And I'm like, but you're making a zombie film. So I'm like, all right. And I told him about it and he goes, all right, we'll see. And I go, you know, we'll do a cut with that. And then I told the assistant director and actually editor, and he does a lot of other things, independent, you know, and I told him and he goes, oh, that's great. I like that. And so then I don't know if I want to give away the line.
Yeah, no, don't give away the line, but you know.
Watch it not make the cut. Yeah. Anyway, then right when we're filming that scene where I'm going to shoot the zombie, the director of photography, Derek Huey, he goes, all right, so what's your catchphrase that you're going to use? It's this you got to have a catchphrase in these types of movies. He goes, that way I know when to stop filming. And I'm like, I looked over at Jed and Jed's like shaking his head no. And Brent was the assistant. He's like kind of nodding. And I was like, all right, you're going to see it. You're going to hear it. You're going to know it. You'll know that's what the catch line. So I do it, pop up behind the console, blast the zombie in the head, deliver my tagline, and everybody in the room just erupted. Even Jed erupted in applause. And yes, that's great. And so I'm hoping it makes the cut.
It has to. It has to, or it will be a crime against humanity.
I think so too. So. Especially, again, I'm not going to say what it is. You'll have to watch 10/31. Why do I say 12/31? I'm waiting for a new year, I guess. But
well, yeah. you're stuck on Kringle the Christmas clown. Yeah.
Christmas,
you're
more, then New Year's.
You're more holiday slaughter, I guess.
So. Well, Halloween just didn't jump at me, I guess. But yeah, 10/31 part 3. You'll see it in there. It's the trailer for Radio Tower Road. hopefully it's in there. If not, I'm sure he'll use it in the little fundraiser video.
I would hope so. I would hope so. And I have no idea what the trailer is going to look like, but every time I play it over in my head, it's got that sort of grainy grindhouse 1970s vibe to it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Now, I've shown you a couple of clips from it that we've worked on here and there. And it's just so funny to see this. I mean, we're seeing the raw footage. I mean, this is not the finished editing stuff that we've seen, but just what we've seen, it's just phenomenal. In fact, Jed shared a picture, just a photo that was taken of the zombie looking into a window that turned into a mirror because of the lighting. Just creepy.
So good.
Be ready for that. 1231 is the name of the movie. Rocky Gray is the one funding it.
No, 1031 is the name of the
movie. See, I did that again.
Rocky Gray is the one filming it.
I got that part right.
1031 Part 3.
Yep, 1031 Part 3. It's supposed to come out in October, I'm believing. The Indiegogo has expired. They've already got the money from it, so they're going to do it. So, all right. Well, I guess, you know what, Tony, that's it for the Nerd Up Podcast.
All right, well.
Let's do this again next week.
Let's do it.
All right. You guys have yourself a great day.